You know, there's something about unwrapping presents that's just so exciting. I still remember one of my favorite Christmases as a young child. We were living in the Carolinas at the time, and we had a long wish list. And I think it was a good year for my parents because we got almost everything on our list. And I remember the excitement as a child leaving my bedroom and running out to the Christmas tree and recognizing that the presents weren't just under the tree, but they extended into the entire living room. You guys ever had a Christmas like that when it was like the bomb biggity, you know, Christmas? I remember that one. I remember it vividly because we had gotten two life-size Transformer coloring books. And I remember my brother and I just laying on the floor, and we were, at the time I was, maybe 7 or 8 years old, laying on the coloring book, and it was the same size as I was as I colored, and my hand would cramp up as I was coloring these pictures. And I just remember that year we also got the microphones that we would be, my brother and I were inseparable, and so even though we had separate rooms, many nights we would sleep in the same room, and we had this little microphone system that we got where we could talk to each other through the microphones and through the walls. I remember that Christmas like it was yesterday. Opening presents is exciting as a child. I also remember a Christmas when my oldest daughter, who's now 17, was just a little tiny one. And Santa had really, really done well the night before. And so she came down the stairs. And when she came down the stairs, her face it's burned into my memory. She was so excited and filled with joy. But unfortunately, we didn't have the video camera ready. And so we told her, hey, babe, go back upstairs and come back down and do it again. And so we recognized a couple things that day, one of them being the fact that my daughter just was not a very good actress. And so I still remember the video where she walked down and she was like, wow, you know. You know, maybe you've had a Christmas before where you opened up presents and after all the presents were done, there was that secret present. Or maybe that present that got accidentally stuck underneath the couch or behind the couch that you'd forgotten about. And there's some Christmases where, there's that present that we don't unwrap until later on in the day. Or maybe your parents specifically laid aside one present, maybe out in the garage, maybe a brand new bicycle, and it was just so exciting. But, you know, I think there's a lot of Christmases that many people have where they don't unwrap the most important gifts. You know, Christmas is the story of the birth of the Savior of the world. And not only the birth of the Savior of the world, but the birth of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When the angels appeared and they spoke to shepherds, that's very significant because shepherds were lowly people. And so for the God of all creation to break the silence and to speak to people and to do it to shepherds is incredible. There might be some of you today that think you don't belong or think maybe you're not important enough to hear from God, or maybe that's just for the super spiritual people. But I want you to hear today that what we can learn from the Christmas story is that God spoke to people who most other people would have ignored and thought were uncircumstantial. But what they say to the shepherds, I think, is what I want to spend a little bit of time on tonight. Before we break from this place and before we go back to our homes and before we jump into our traditions as a family, I want to read what the angels said. And I want us to hear the two presents that most people never unwrap at Christmas. And the angels said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Would you pray with me? Father, I pray that over the next few moments as we discuss this passage of Scripture, that you would open our hearts. God, that you would help us see the present that we really need to unwrap today, this evening, that we don't even need to wait for tomorrow morning. But God, you've provided us a gift in two forms, and I pray that we would receive that tonight. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I get a chance to open up some gifts in front of you today, and the first one, I think, is the present. This is one of the presents that most people will spend their whole lives and celebrate Christmas year after year after year, but never unwrap this gift. When the angel comes to the shepherds and he says, I bring you good news that's for great joy for all the people, he says, "For unto you this day in the city of David is born to you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." You know, of all the presents that we could unwrap throughout our lives, this is one of the most significant presents and goes unwrapping in most of our lives. Jesus comes to us as a Savior. Now, this is a life preserver, and we put these by pools, but I think it's interesting because it says specifically on this bag, this is not a toy. This is not used to be played with. This isn't used, your kids don't play around with this in the pool and play games with it or shoot basketball into it. There's a specific purpose for this. And the specific purpose is if somebody is drowning or somebody is in danger, this is here to save their life. It's very significant when the angel comes and what he proclaims is that there is born to you this little baby, and this baby is your savior. Now, for some of us, this is somewhat offensive because for a savior to come to us, we must need saving. You see, if I were to walk up to you and throw this to you in your everyday normal life, you wouldn't understand what to do with it. See, most people in the world imagine their lives standing in a baby pool and the water coming up to their ankles. And so when they hear the story of the Savior that has come to them, it's like throwing a life preserver to somebody standing in a baby pool. It just doesn't make sense. It seems indulgent. It seems like it's not necessary. But what we find in the Christmas story and what we find in what the angel proclaims to the shepherds is that this world needs saving. That the world was not okay when Jesus came. That the people of the world, regardless of their religion or background, were not okay. There was an issue. There was a problem that needed fixing. And Jesus' birth in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago represents to us the reality that God has come to rescue us and to redeem us. But you see, not everybody wants to be rescued, and not everybody feels they need to be rescued. But what I want you to hear tonight is that when Jesus appeared, when Jesus was born, and that little baby breathed his first breath, that was the beginning of the revelation to mankind that we desperately needed an intervention. We desperately needed a salvation. For some of us tonight, you recognize because your life feels like you're drowning. You feel the waves and the wind of this world are beating you up and beating you down. And you're here tonight and you feel like you're drowning within. You might put a happy face on, but deep down you know you're missing something. Can I share with you tonight, humbly, that I believe I know what that is? It's the salvation of Christ. You see, because he wasn't just born and didn't just live a life and didn't just tell people about his father and didn't just perform miracles, but he actually died on a cross and he was buried. And on the third day, he rose again. All of these being significant because it was all part of the plan of our salvation. You see, Jesus was born that night to save and to rescue. And the question I have for you is, have you opened that gift in your life? It's available to you. Don't disqualify yourself from this or assume that you're okay without him. If it were possible for any of us to be okay without him, Jesus would have come for nothing. But you see, we all need him. All of us. Regardless of background, regardless of religious upbringing, regardless of financial status, we all need to open up the present of Jesus as Savior. But you see, that's not the only thing the shepherds say. The shepherds do not just say to you, today in the city of David is born to you a Savior, who is Christ, and leave it at that. They actually finish the statement with just an interesting summary as not only that Jesus is our Savior, not only that he's our rescuer, not only that he's our Messiah, but the second gift I think that many people leave unwrapped every single year at Christmas, but we cannot afford to, is that Christ came to be our Lord and our King. You see, the stresses of life are overwhelming. I know. I experienced them as well as being married for 17 years, having three children and recognizing the stresses that come with that and a job and finances and all the things that the world kind of throws at us. It's overwhelming sometimes. And the truth is that whenever I'm controlling my life, whenever I'm the one who's in charge, I can't handle it. Now, even the strongest of us have moments where we break. But the good news that we hear as a story of Christmas is that Jesus didn't come just to save us from our sins and save us from the punishment of our sins, but Jesus also came to be our Lord. You know, when I lived in South Florida, I had the privilege of working at a church that spoke four different languages on campus every single Sunday. And I remember when the Haitian church would do baptisms, the pastor of the Haitian church would always say something that was so interesting before he baptized them. Instead of going into a long theological discussion about what they believed and what they didn't believe, he would ask them one simple question before they were baptized. Is Jesus your boss? If the answer was no, he would not baptize them. Because the recognition is that Jesus doesn't just come to save us, but he also comes to lead us. And see, he doesn't come and lord over us in power and in might, forcing us into submission. He came to us as a meek and mild child born in Bethlehem, who grew up to become who you and I know as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know, tonight, I want to give you the opportunity to fire yourself from being the Lord of your own life. Now, I know that sounds crazy, but it will probably be, I don't know if you've ever been fired before, but it'll be the best experience of your life. Because being the boss of our own life is a job that's far too big. That many of us try to shoulder ourselves, and we try to do it. We feel like we're strong. We feel like we can do it. If we just pull up our own bootstraps, we can just lead it. But the truth is, we're just finite creatures. We don't even know what's going to happen a moment from now. And the anxiety of not knowing what the future is, and the anxiety of not knowing the different situations in life. And maybe you are a control freak, but you know that there's times in life where you look around and you recognize there's so many things you can't control, and all the plates you've been trying to spin begin to crash down. And this is my challenge to you tonight, my encouragement to you tonight. There's a present that you can unwrap, and it's Christ as Lord. That he will be the boss, not only of all of creation, but specifically of your life. He takes the burdens that you carry, and he says, hey, trade them with me. You see, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's what Jesus says. There's two presents that many of us spend our whole lives and we never unwrap. Out of a two-county area of 720,000 people in the Manatee and Sarasota area, 490,000 people do not have a relationship with God. Based upon those numbers, some of us in this room are still struggling with opening up these gifts, and my challenge to you tonight is embrace him as Savior and Lord tonight. You see, he's worthy. There is no one in this world that loves you any more than Jesus. Because this little baby that was born grew up, and this is one of the things that he said. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should have everlasting life. You see, for he did not send his Son, speaking of his Father, for he did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Those are two gifts that you and I can't afford to leave unwrapped this year. Would you bow your heads and pray with me?